All right. That's Oliver Nelson Septet with Stolen Moments. Oliver Nelson, who is the arranger, is on tenor sax. Freddie Hubbard is on trumpet. Eric Dolphy on alto sax and flute. George Barrow on baritone sax. Bill Evans on piano. Paul Chambers on bass and Roy Haynes on drums. This is from Nelson's 1961 album, The Blues and the Abstract Truth. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and welcome. I hope you had a restful weekend and that you took it easy and recomposed and captured some of that lost energy by sleeping and keeping yourself all on the down low, just very calm and cool. Well, right now here it's very calm and cool because the workers apparently decided to take a lunch break and put an end to the racket that started up early this morning. I said, "Oh man, it's going to be one of those days." But it turns out that they're all gone. I mean, it was a noise symphony here this morning, and well, people should be thankful just the same. It's a job; they're getting work, and they're grateful. And so, even though it sometimes is a little much for me, I always say, thank goodness. In a time like this, we have people who have jobs, earning a living, doing necessary work, and so you can't be angry. Well, how are you? I hope you're okay. I hope you're better than okay, actually. But okay, I'll take okay right now. That's good too. That's very good too. Well, here's what we're going to be talking about today. And you have to put your thinking cap on because we'll be talking about media on the levels that might be of interest to you, whether local or national or international. Media has been playing an increasingly important role in shaping our attitudes. Gary just finished remarking about that. And but he was also cautioning that we have to be on guard. We have to be very attentive so that we listen with a critical ear. So I'm asking three questions today, and you can pick whichever suits you. At the local level where you live, what news story do you think should be dominating the headlines right now? At the local level where you live, what news story do you think should be dominating the headlines right now? Or you may choose to answer this. What, in your opinion, should the leading story in the United States, that's the national story, be right now? What, in your opinion, should the leading story in the United States be right now? And of course, why? And finally, you may choose to answer this question. On the international front, what should we expect a leading story to be right now, and why? Sounds simple, but I know it isn't. And the thing that is even harder still is to answer the why part. But you have been following media for quite some time. We have discussed media, we've discussed coverage of stories and the impact. And here we are today. It's an interesting thing that Gary was talking about that today. No, we didn't talk to each other. We didn't consult with each other about what we're talking about. But something must have cropped up. Something must have said that this is something that ought to be discussed. 888-874-4888. Just to remind you, you may choose at whichever level you wish to address. At the local level where you live, what the news story ought to be, you think? What should be dominating the headlines where you live right now, and why? What do you think should be the leading story in the United States right now, and why? And on the international front, what should we naturally expect a leading story would be, and why? Okay, journalists, let's hear what you have to say at 888-874-4888. You may choose any of these levels because the news is at all three, and at least what we regard as news. But what is it really? What do we get out of the so-called news? How does it shape our attitudes, our everyday lives, our thinking, and inevitably, our actions? 888-874-4888. It's not an easy question. It wasn't meant to be an easy question. It is a question that will require you to put a little bit of muscle in it. Because you will be telling us quite a few things. It's not a straightforward question, as you will quickly discern. It has to do with the relationship between media and society. How are our opinions and consequently our actions shaped by so-called media coverage? And why do we end up thinking certain things? Why do we form certain opinions? Because of the information we gather from news outlets. Let's start with Gwen from New York. You're on the air, Gwen. Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. The heat finally broke here, so we can open our windows much better today. But I think internationally, the most important thing in the world right now is global warming. That's it. I think it's more important than anything that you'll see on any station because we are experiencing weather changes that we've never seen before. And the entire race of humanity could be obliterated, extinct forever. So to me, it's the only game in town. And I guess that the conversation we had on Friday regarding alternative sources of energy really stuck with me too. And I just wanted to chime in too that I'm certainly not an expert on solar panels, but I know what I saw. And I spoke to a neighbor of mine this morning who is from Puerto Rico, and her mother still lives there. And she just happened to tell me that her mother does have solar panels. And she said it was excellent because she said when the lights go out, my mother is never out of electricity. And she says, yes, my mother has batteries, and they are poor. Her mother is not rich, but somehow or other she was able to get some solar panels on her building. And so she is not stuck with no lights when the lights go out. And I was saying to, you know, my neighbor that it's unbelievable that no one is really doing anything about this. We're still treating it like it's like the 10th issue of the day, even though it just wiped out an entire town in Germany. Like, What a violent way to die. Water surging through your homes and all through the streets and just plowing people over. I mean, it's pretty scary. And we have all these vulnerable things that are out there. Like we have nuclear power plants, which could be, you know, surged over by water. We have that. We have all kinds of vulnerabilities and still very, very little want to pay attention to it. And I think that it's not going to matter about this COVID or anything else if global warming should strike us all down. And, you know, I know in my family, I have people living in very vulnerable places. My sister lives in Arizona, and Colorado River is down by 2/3. And so that's the only source of drinking water, and that and the Hoover Dam. And I just think that people really need to pay attention to this. And even if we don't have perfect systems in place right now, you can't tell me that the solar panels are less dangerous than nuclear power. They're just not. And there is a way of mitigating this. And yes, the government and the taxpayers, we who pay the taxes, should be willing to do something to mitigate the cost, to offset that cost if we have to through government programs. If we're willing to do it for the nuclear power energy industry, and we're willing to do it for lots of other things that we, the taxpayers, really never get anything good back from, we should be willing to put forth programs to save the planet. I'm sorry. I just think the planet's probably more important than anything because I live on it and I want to keep staying here. So I think that's the first one. And if I could just very quickly squeeze in a second one.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to piggyback on what Gary Noel was speaking about in you too, as far as the press. I'm very frightened about what's going on and how they're saying, quote unquote, people that are speaking about the COVID virus and according to the sources of the main media are not telling the truth. These people are basically going to be censored. And that really scares me because most of my information is coming from this station. Most of it's coming from Gary Noel. And I think that Gary's information has been very forthright and backed up by very credible sources. So it really scares me that they're going to start trying to shut down sources like Gary. And you know, I'm talking about credible sources because I think that we all have a right to know what else is going on in the conversation. And it just seems, like I've said from the beginning, it seems very strange with this virus that it's been the most important thing, and it's been the best way to really lock down on us. And if you can see what's happening in France today, they're basically saying if you go into a restaurant and you don't have a mask on, we're going to put you in jail for 6 months, and you're not going to be able to go to any games. More and more I hear people on the TV calling people like me who don't have the vaccine. They're actually calling us bad people. On WNYC the other day, they had a doctor on who was talking about the good people who get the virus for their kids and the bad people like me who don't have the virus. Well, what about just people that are just cautious of what you want to pump into my body? And I think the real bad people are the people that are poisoning their children with this vaccine. Because you really don't know what it can do in the future. And to put a little baby in front of a needle like that and just say, let's spin the wheel and see how it comes. I think that parents like that really are careless and really don't care about their children as much as they say they do. So they're my two things today. I'll sit back and wait for the comments to come in.
All right. Well, thank you. So your contribution is global warming and the role of media, the press.
Censorship.
Thanks a lot.
Yes. Thank you.
888-874-4888. You can answer one of three questions, each at a different level. At the local level where you live, what news story should be dominating the headlines right now, as far as you are concerned? What, in your opinion, should the leading story in the United States be right now, and why? And the last question, on the international front, what should we expect a leading story would be, and why? 888-874-4888. Let's hear from you and let's see what it is you're thinking. 888-874-4888. You know, we don't stop to think about the information we're getting, and we don't stop to critique it and analyze it very often. We don't. We just assume, well, that's what we're getting, and that's the news. That's the news. And just the same, whether we agree or disagree, we internalize the message. But why? Why do we just accept it? Why do we not inspect the news and ask questions about it? Right now, because things are just so dicey right now. Information is coming from everywhere, and it's coming with a decided political bent. They're not even apologizing for it. They're not even saying, well, we are conservatives, and we are presenting the conservative point of view on this position, but we are barraged and bombarded by so-called news. But is it helping us to make sense of our daily lives at a time like this? Does it help us understand how we are to function, what we are to what adjustments we are to make, if we are to make any? Does it help us feel more confident about the choices that we're making? Or does it, as Gwen just referred to, does it imply that because you take a different point of view, you are a bad person? In fact, we even had the President of the United States talking about people who have a difference of opinion about the virus. You know, it's like he was going to get his gun and come hunting for these people and shoot them because they disagreed. It's going to get worse, but we should be prepared to really understand what is happening right now and the role of information, and more so the role of the control of information. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you three.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
You know, this is a very interesting group of questions. And as I look at it, the idea that what they should be talking about, as far as I am concerned, it will never be talked about, because you are asking the perpetrators of the crimes against the people to talk about what they're doing. And by that I mean the newspapers, the schools, the various forms of media that we have are all guilty of doing what is necessary to project and maintain the ruling class in power. They are not going to tell you what they really are doing. They have a system in the schools and the newspapers and so forth, where they tell you what to think. They give you information that is designed to maintain the status quo with a small ruling class in charge. And that's what they do, whether you're in the schools or listening to all the forms of media. So you can't expect to have the wolf tell you what he's up to. So what is missing is any really significant level of media large enough to communicate with the people. There aren't too many PRN networks around. So that is the major problem. People do not have the information people are believing that they have a government that works for them, which it does not. When we think about it, we have a one-party system with its two divisions, and we have people in these positions like Congress who essentially pretend that they are interested in the people and are working in the interest of people, whereas they are really working in the interest of the small ruling class that runs the country. So that should be in the newspapers and all the media and so forth and the schools. But there's no way that this is going to be in there, because all of that information is censored from the people. The things that people have to know are kept away from them. For example, I'll give you an example, a good example. If you were really getting good information, you would find all the benefits that if people are getting in, let's say, more progressive capitalist countries. So you'd find out what they're doing in Sweden and Norway and Denmark and Finland and Switzerland to benefit the people. You will never see an article like that. You'll never see an article about what those countries do for their veterans and about their system of health care, about their system of education, and all the benefits the people have in those countries. So what we have is a system that is designed to do one thing, to tell people how to think, and that is what we have in this country. And you're going to get that whether you're reading the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or on the television or radio, even in the so-called public radio, which is not public, when they're getting all kind of donations from corporations. And that is what we have. So the whole way that this place is maintained is to give the people the illusion, or the illusion that they have democracy, when they really don't. They have a plutocracy, and have them thinking that there are lots of enemies out there, so they can pick out the pockets of the people and have a war budget that takes half the money and gives it to the war industry and has a welfare program for rich people, and most of us don't even understand that we are living in a place where rich people on welfare, and that's the way it is, not the way that they put it as some poor person getting a few ducats now and then. So all the information that people need to have, they're not going to find it in corporate media, and they're not going to find it in the places they should find it, in schools and so forth. And that's the way I see it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon, Marcus.
Thank you. I think the problem is, if you'll permit me, is the way these questions are phrased. That's an indication of the problem. We compartmentalize the important structure and context of events into individual stories. This is what our university and school system has taught us. We don't show the interrelation of actual facets of the world. We break things down into separate, disparate subject matter. And so we teach subject matter and we create what they like to call issues, which is only focus on this one part. You can't understand the world when you break it into stories. That's only one way of understanding the world. So if you want to understand global climate change, all right, what's the biggest contributing factor to the overall structure that creates climate change? All right, individual behavior has some influence, but it's demonstrated overwhelmingly the biggest polluter and contributor to climate change are the world's militaries. Okay, what's happening in the structure that is making these militaries proliferate? Well, could the revolving door between government and government contracting, which builds up the military, have something to do with it? Well, that isn't going to be discussed. The whole issue of Pentagon capitalism, if arms sales were stopped tomorrow, the entire economy would collapse, because that's mostly what Pentagon capitalism is, which is the system we live under. Well, why is that the case? So what are the defense industries? Does it surprise anyone to know that the pharmaceutical giants are part of the Pentagon capitalist system and essential to the functioning of the intelligence agencies and the military? Is that a surprise to anybody? So the fact that these people also are interchangeable parts, from the intelligence services to, say, the heads of National Public Radio, customarily the people at the head of public broadcasting, all have CIA connections. This is all well documented and well understood as separate stories, but nobody links this subject matter together. So and doing it that way makes the actual causes of these things invisible. So naturally you have at the Washington Post and the New York Times and all the mainstream media, these are state security journalists whose job is to make sure that you only discuss stories, individual little tiny views of small working parts, but not the overall structure. So is it clear? Who cleans up on both ends of war? The actual financing of the arms sales, the wars itself, and the rebuilding process? Well, that's all underwritten by banks and insurance companies, the big banks and insurance companies. And they're the ones who structure all of this. So, okay, there are all these elements in place that function together as a system. And the media's job is to say, but just look at that. What a terrible problem this tiny little corner of it is. So you're supposed to think about it in these compartmentalized ways that never give you a picture so you can understand what's actually happening. And then you can devise a strategy and tactics to deal with it. As long as they're presented as issues and stories, you can't do that. All you can do is scratch your head and say, wow, this is so overwhelming. How could anybody figure this out? But there's a thread that runs through it all. And it's all the hinge is, of course, the economic system that was set up. So when you look at wealth disparity, this is the key. This is the key. Rich and poor is the key, because the entire structure is impossible without that. So you can look at areas that are foundational to the system and attack them. But as long as you're obsessing about individual little corners and tiny stories and issues, you'll never be able to formulate any kind of actual resistance or project to fix it. That's my thesis.
All right. And a very good thesis it is.
Thank you.
We'll take this break and come back to your thinking on these questions right after this at 888-874-4888. See you soon. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We are asking and answering three key questions today, each pertaining to a different level of our society. And what do we understand in terms of the function of media and how our views are shaped, especially in critical times? What, in your opinion, should the leading story in the United States be right now, and why? We're asking also, what should, at the local level, what should your local story be right now, and why? We're asking at the international level, what should we be expecting to read and hear and see in the way of information right now, and why? 888-874-4888. We go now to Ed from Queens. You're on the air. Hello, Ed.
Hey, good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing?
Well, you know, good. Here, phones hanging. You know, you know the drill. I appreciate all the big picture thinkers, and you know, I agree with them to a certain extent as far as how the media is presented, but I am a local person. I've always been a local person, and my local concerns prompt me to take a look at the big picture. But I believe that you have to have something to focus on. One of the leading stories here that I don't feel is being covered in any great detail is the prevalence of gun violence, i.e. how in a state where this has some of the most strictest gun laws in America, can there be such a prevalence of guns with people who back in history didn't have guns? I mean, you had local shootouts with CD vendors and push cart operators and people whose salary couldn't obtain a gun as far as the pricing, even on the illegal market, from my personal experience. So I'm wondering how these guns are getting so prevalent and how this gun violence is escalating, and what are the police doing? What is the government doing locally? How come we can't stop this iron pipeline? And what's going on? Because this is an immediate threat in the community, and a lot of people are suffering from it.
So if you were an editor of a newspaper, let's say, or the news editor, news director of a radio station, what would you regularly cover in order to address this question?
Well, I look at the police blotter. I look at how many legal firearms are taken off the streets. I look at the iron pipeline, which comes from the south through I-95 and brings a lot of these weapons up here illegally because they're easily obtained in different states. I look at how well the state police are operating, start looking at police blotters, start holding precincts accountable. How is their community outreach? How are gun buyback programs? All of the things that are in existence to help regulate and control. Are the police upset because of the defunding campaign that went around? Are they doing a sick out? Are they turning their back on certain well-known crime areas? I lived in New York most of my life, and I could come to a neighborhood and I can, in a couple of weeks, just by looking, I can tell you who's doing what and what's going on. And if I can do that as a civilian, a well-trained police officer, a well-trained detective can't do that and can't isolate? I mean, these are things that nobody's raising questions. There are reports of the crimes, but there's no connection between how come these crimes are so prevalent now, and then there were and during the times when they weren't. So, you know, I mean, it's a threat locally, and it compromises the value of life in the city. And I think that's something that should be covered as far as a local story in depth. We should have in-depth reporting, undercover reporting, really digging into why this gun violence is becoming so prevalent with people who historically didn't carry guns or didn't have guns or didn't have access to guns.
Well, you make a very strong point. I happen to agree. Thank you for calling in and contributing today. Tony from Staten Island, you're on the air at 888-874-4888.
Oh, good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon.
Topic. Yeah. Now, the way I see it, and I think this may sound a little woo-woo to some people, but the only real solution for whether it be local, international, or anywhere else, is it's a spiritual problem, you know? It's mankind. It's human beings. Me, you,
yeah, but
everyone
we're not discussing.
Spoke.
We're not discussing people's spirituality today.
No. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about anybody's spirituality per se. People's own spirituality. Whatever problem there is, right? It's coming from human beings. Yes or no? Whether it be corporations, whether it be media, it's coming from human beings. So the problem is human beings. So if the problem is human beings, right, then that's where the problem is. And that is what, if there was a news media that was so able, that would be what the main news story would be. Because it's human beings that cause global warming. It's human beings that have all the different corporations or that bring guns into communities or any of the other subjects that you want to deal with. Right? And this isn't, obviously it's a worldwide thing. But, you know, as I say, most people ain't going to go there. They're not interested in that. We always tend to be looking outside of ourselves for the solutions to the problem of the world. And it's not this.
Yes, but you're taking a philosophical tact, and I appreciate that. However, yeah, we still are stuck at the basic of what do you and I depend on to be informed?
Hold on.
Okay. We're talking over each other.
Okay.
You and I depend on to be informed about our world on a day-to-day basis? And is it doing the job? Is it helping us understand the complicated issues like the one you just are posing now? Is it helping us get a handle on it?
No, it's not. It's not. You know, what's being discussed in the media is not helping us. It's contributing to the problem. And who is the media? Human beings are the media. That's what human beings make up the military. I don't see any other way around it. What do you do
with the masses of human beings who are not doing the job? What do you do with human beings? I understand you want to get this whole thing about the human beings as a central part of your argument. But you're not letting us understand from mm-hmm. your perspective mm-hmm. what is a state of affairs at the local, national, and international level, because the human beings that you say are in charge, they're not really doing the job that they should be doing to keep us fully informed.
Yes, that is true. That is true. They're not doing the job that they're supposed to be doing, as well as we, the human beings who receive that bad information or no information or lack of information, we have something to do as well. We're part of the solution, if there is to be a solution. It can't be, they're not doing this, they're doing this to us. Or that. No, we're part of the solution. Like, for example, if we think that there's lots of junk food that they're putting into our communities, they're putting all kinds of things that are just detrimental to our communities and stuff like that, why do we still keep going ahead and buying them? Why do we keep consuming the stuff that they give to us? And then we turn around and say it's bad. Why do we consume the violence, the endless violence that we see on the TVs, and then we rationalize it in our heads and say, oh, it's just a story or something like that? It's a human problem. It's our problem. I don't know any other way to put it, Utrecht. You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, we could boil it down to say, oh, well, this person should be doing this or that person should be doing that, right? But unless they're doing it from a conscientious, awoken person, right? We're just going to go around in circles, you know?
But break it down for me a bit.
Okay.
You, as the head of a household, mm-hmm. whether you have children or not, but you have your own household. How do you think you're functioning differently than your neighbor next door with regard to this very thing of controlling what comes into your household and therefore having a better shot at controlling what happens in your household?
You know, I'm not understanding your question clearly, Utrecht. Can you clarify a little bit for me?
In other words, how do you propose mm-hmm. these human beings that we are, mm-hmm. fraught with contradictions and everything, what mm-hmm. then is it that we should be prepared to do?
Oh, to begin chasing? Okay. I get you. All right. Well, first of all, we need to look at ourselves. If the problem is us, which I believe it is, we need to look at ourselves. I need to look at me. What do I mean by that? I need to look at what thoughts come into my head and how do I let them out, what feelings come into my heart and my being, and how I express them or don't express them, right? That's where it begins, whether it be the CEO or the janitor, whether it be the president or anyone in between. That's how I would answer that. What's going on inside of you, inside of me? This is nothing new. It's nothing new that I'm saying, right? It's nothing new. The Buddha spoke about it. Christ spoke about it. Any of the major religions speak about it. But how do we make it a reality in our day-to-day lives, in our individual lives? That's the question. That's what should be being broadcast. That's what should be informing us. Because when we start to be informed like that, and people start to look within themselves themselves and how they behave and how they express themselves, what comes out of them, right? Then those the major corporations, if they were so inclined to follow that, they would maybe start doing things differently that doesn't affect the planet, that doesn't affect other individuals. The newspapers would start to. It is philosophical.
Mentality.
And I don't apologize for it being philosophical. But you know, you asked what you think the solution is. I could, as I said, I could give a layperson's solution that shows oh, these people shouldn't be doing that, and these people should be informing us like this or that. But I don't think that solves the problem at the heart of it.
Okay. All right, so, we leave it there. Thanks so much for contributing today. 888-874-4888. We have time for your call. We're asking these questions because we see, I mean, we literally see, especially in these past, in this recent past, how worldwide, essentially, we're dealing with the same question. What is it that we need to revamp in our daily lives with regard to the information we have and act upon? And does anything need to change so that on any given day we can say we are acting intelligently because we've been informed by comprehensive coverage, or we have new insights being shared with us from people who have studied things for a long time and they now have a body of work that they can share? Or are we stuck forever with the action-reaction kind of mode where a story is the result of people's reaction to something that already has happened, rather than getting a sense of how do we get in front of a story? How do we get in front of a developing story, especially, and see whether we can change its course or influence its outcome? How do we change this? Because inevitably, we all, for the most part, depend on popular media. When I say popular media, I mean what is readily available in any society, without making a judgment whether it's good grade, bad grade, or medium grade. It's there. It's what works as part of the machine to inform the public. We have had many discussions about whether it really does inform the public. But insofar as that is a major part of how we learn about this planet that we share and live in, how do we begin to take a little bit more control? How do we subject these media outlets to a little bit more scrutiny to find out whether they are staying true to the course, whether they are serving their intended purpose, whether they're helping us navigate this world on a day-to-day basis by giving us dependable, accurate information, doing investigative work that helps us see the seamy underside of things, or that tells us, you know, these are some of the alternatives that you should consider in this particular scenario. We have a couple of alternatives that scientists are looking at or people in the know are studying. So how do we get that done? Or is it too late? Is it even feasible to do? Should it be attempted at all? Or should we just keep on moving, insofar as we're moving in some direction or the other, hoping to fix things as we go? That's the question. It may sound a bit complex, but it really isn't a complex question when you think about it. In every society, including societies that don't have newspapers and radio and television, people have to deal with daily life and the consequences of daily life and the problems of daily life presents. And they have to fashion something based on a particular kind of knowledge. They have to fashion a response so that they can survive. What is our response? What choices do we have? That's the question. 888-874-4888. One lucky person can get in right now as we get to the end of our program. 888-874-4888. We already have had some very good responses, but we need to talk more about these kinds of issues in a more analytical way, because people believe you get into analytics and analysis only when you have to call upon the seasoned people to come in and descend from their mountains and give us the plebes the word. But we have the word when you check it out. We have a considerable amount of it. Are we using it? Are we finding it? Are we tailoring it to the problems that we must confront? Do we have faith in it? Do we have confidence that we, in fact, are being educated and not miseducated? Anybody? You have a shot. 888-874-4888. We have to be more critical about what we consume in the way information. We have to be very critical about it. Because as Brother David said, we may very well be so well conditioned to accepting what we've been accepting for so long, we just don't ask questions anymore. We just keep going. Lenny from New Jersey, thank you for calling in. What is your thought?
Hi, Utrice. Nice to speak with you. I thought there were some very good calls today that, you know, attacked the issue from different perspectives. In particular, the man who brought up the pieces of information being, but not really connecting the dots to an underlying issue. With regard to your
last, Marcus from Wisconsin, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just got mixed with the names. I thought he made a very good point where, and I don't think that's by accident. I think, you know, it is designed when money is, you know, maybe at one time there was a freer press and there was more investigative reporting and, you know, real journalism. But when the major media outlets, the mainstreams, you know, for lack of a better word, are corporately controlled or bought up, you know, the dissemination of information is not going to be accurate. And I know, like you listen to Gary, which I have for years too, a lot of the people that are speaking, like just raising logical questions, you know, and not necessarily any political bias or anything, just like, hey, what about this? It doesn't get addressed and they get blacklisted. So I think we're in a, with social media and with, you know, like PR, like a spin on everything, it's really hard to get at the truth. What to do and how to do it. I just don't see, you know, as long as there's so much money in politics and people really, you know, who are in positions of journalism, instead of reporting, there seem to be purporting a rhetoric, you know, like a line. If you listen to, like, you know, the thing, you know, vaccines in the arms of Americans, that it was almost like they get points, like, for every news outlet, like, saying that particular word. Mm-hmm. I'll say for myself that I don't attach any political, I'm not vaccinated. I don't attach any political ideology to it. I think that's silly. But, you know, I've listened to Gary and your show and other sources for a long time, and I think there are legitimate questions, the PCR test, the availability of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine when used in a reasonable manner, not pumping someone who's 90 years old, who's dying anyway, full of it. You know, like just other options with dealing with the problem rather than a vaccine, if it is a vaccine, which is, you know, an unproven technology. What are the long term implications of that? Maybe it's fine, you know, and maybe it's not it's not a one size fits all formula.
Okay, I was just saying we've run out of time, and I want to thank everybody for contributing today. This is a question we should continue to discuss because so much is hanging on it now. We may not be aware of it every day, but it is affecting us every day. So we have to conjure up something of a consciousness about it. So thank you all for contributing. And let's get together and talk some more tomorrow. Bye-bye.